Does anybody have any response, or did anybody consider the concept of zero yesterday? Anybody have any questions about it or thoughts about it?
I have big time internal response. No, I don't have a verbal response.
Okay, I'm not zero.
This morning I woke up thinking it's him and me believing.
A long time ago, I can't remember, I think it was in something that Norman Grubb had written. He quoted an ancient saint in some reference, and this was his prayer. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, and do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no will but thine. I have no self but thee, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. And when I saw that, it just crystallized everything that I had seen when I became a believer. And it was a witness to combat all of the religious horseshit that I had been subjected to as I was trying to become what everybody else thought was a Christian. And the idea that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that's the end of the story is unknown. And if that is the case, then there can't be zero. And as we said yesterday, the concept of zero is only something that was invented by man to manipulate. And it's a necessary tool for manipulation, but it's no more necessary than having a ruler or a compass or something to do something with. But you certainly don't base your entire being on the concept of zero. And yet that's what the human race has done. There could be no cause and effect. There could be no Babylon without zero. And so the recognition that Jesus Christ is my life, there is nothing else, is the fullness of the gospel. But in order for that to take place, you must die. There is no you. And then from that perspective, there can be no zero. There can be no nothing. There can only be God as all and in all. And everything else is just chaff. I've told this story many times, but when I was baptized by Warren Litzman. He was this goofy guy that was supposedly over J.W. Luhmann. And I had not read the scriptures yet. As you, I think most of you know, I hadn't picked up a Bible, I don't really think, since I was 6 years old or seven. And when I became a believer at 33. And when he put me under the water, and when I came up, he said, do you have anything to say? And I said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I didn't even know that was a scripture. And he said, he got this kind of sick look on his face, and he said, I don't think you know what you said. But that's all there is. Everything else in your life is a lie. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And just as he walked from the moment of his baptism until his crucifixion, and even after his crucifixion, while he went to the depths of hell, hell would have been nothing to him. He would have flicked his finger and destroyed it. He walked and thought in total and complete 100% dependence on God for every second of his life after baptism. And that's your only... There is nothing else. The only question is, do you believe in God? If you do, then you have no problems. Oh, I believe in God like I believe the light's on, or I believe that's a green tree. But that's not what the Bible's meaning of belief is. Belief means 100% reliance on Him and Him alone. There is nothing else. There is no perception, there is no form, there is no idea of the way you think things should be. There's only reliance, dependence on the Father. That's the entire gospel. I'm so tired of everything else. Everything else is pure boredom. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I do. You talked about pistos, you know, and the way you're talking, I was thinking about that.
It means faith, in pestos.
And it's like people who are standing on the edge think they're really right out there, you know, but they're still on the edge. It's when you've taken that last step, and you're in that state of dependence, faith is, you don't know what's going to happen. While you're still on the edge, it may be exciting, but it's not the full.
Well, I promise you, you won't stay on the edge. You will automatically, if you're on the edge, you will automatically step back from the edge. And then pretty soon you believe the edge is farther and farther back from the edge. And then pretty soon you're so far back that you can't even, you think that what you think is what God thinks.
And all the while you're talking flowery religious language.
Well, you are externally, but not internally. Internally, you know you're full of shit. What's so funny about that? Huh?
He knows he's full of shit. Who in here doesn't know?
Go to Psalm 139. We're just going to read a few verses here. No, we're not. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For lo, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the see, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, if there is no place that you can go from His presence, and the reason there is no place that you can go from His presence is He is your life, but He is not your life as Gary Buckner or Ronnie or Speed. Or that is the illusion. As you've heard me say so often, the Psalms were written by the Spirit of Christ in David for Christ as He walked the earth incarnate, for Christ in you, the hope of glory. They're not prayers. They're not things about you. If you think this is about you, then you've missed the point. And the prayer has nothing to do with you. The Psalms have nothing to do with you except that for destruction. But the, if you know that your life is hid with Christ in God, that you walk in total and complete dependence on Him and Him alone, then you can go, there's nowhere you can be, there's no condition you can be in that He isn't the author of. Oh, but I have a problem. This doesn't mean that you become a better actor or actress and deny that you have any, that whatever it is that's going on, that you try to take care of by sorcery, by positive thinking. That is, positive thinking is, I promise you, is as pure sorcery as anything in the universe is. But if there is a challenge, or if you're dealing with something, then that is the opportunity for you to see the mystery of God. Remember, I'm not going to get up, but I've done it enough, you should remember. You know, I have a problem with, you fill in the blank. The problem isn't the problem, the problem is the I. If you change that sentence and say, Christ has a problem with, then you, it's ludicrous. If you have a problem, then for you, then you've missed the point of the mystery. Then you're not continuing with Him in His temptation. You have been seduced into believing that something is going on with you. So change the subject of the sentence. And you'll see how ludicrous what you think is going on is. If He learned obedience by the things that He suffered, do you think that you, Christ in you is going to be in any different position? Jerry?
Well, I just think of how it's a mystery. It's like when you read this, and you get the knees and the eyes, and you think it's you, then that's not right. But when you have entered into Him, the knees and the eyes are correct because it's Him. So it's that mystery of how when you're at one with Him.
Amen. I mean, don't you see that you know we are commanded to present ourselves a living sacrifice that we might be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. But the renewing of our minds cannot come with the power of thought. The power of thought, in fact, is the enemy of the renewal of the mind. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. But it's you know, I can tell when I hear people talking in day-to-day activities that they still believe that somehow the renewal of your mind is going to happen by your thought process. And so you're using that which is cursed. You're using the tool that is cursed to try to find God. It can't happen. It can't be done.
They'll be like dirty clothes washing themselves.
Right. Or worse. go to Isaiah 54.
What's that scripture about, you know, the farmer, you know, goes to sleep and rises and goes to sleep and rises and the plant grows up and does not know how.
Knoweth not how.
It's like, can't ever get your head around how it's working. Thank goodness. Ain't there yet.
Sing, O barren that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations to the ends of the earth. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stay. Don't you understand that your limit of your tent is your thought process? And as long as you're trying to figure it out with thought, then the limits of your tent pegs are is essentially the limit of human experience. And it can't conceive of what we're talking about, except objectively. Well, that's a nice thought. And then you go turn your back and you forget what, you know, scripture's talking about. You forget what manner of what man you were. That's why you must be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But the doer of the word doesn't do anything. Go to James 1. This is one of the most misused scriptures in Christianity. I've heard people come here and tell me that, well, why don't you be, you're supposed to be a doer of the word. And that's why we're out with all these plans. And it's not what it says. Listen carefully. Verse 22, chapter 1 of James. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straighteth away, forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If I look into this Bible and see to try to see what I should do about something, then I am by definition a hearer of the word only. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter whether I go save the world. But if I look into this scripture and see anything other than the perfect law of liberty, Jesus, Then I am a hearer of the word only and not a doer. I am one of these idiots that's an observer and not a, and doesn't live it. He observes it. He may observe it but if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You look into this and you see yourself. This is what I should do. This is the principles of God. These are the principles of God. This is what God tells me to do in this situation. I promise you, if you believe that, you're an absolute fool. But if you look into this and see, wherever you look, the perfect law of liberty, which is Jesus Christ, then by looking, you are a doer. That the Old Testament is full of it. The word for obedience in the Old Testament is observe to do. You understand? your warfare is over. Your obedience is fulfilled only by seeing Him. It's not fulfilled. You can't do it. You don't have what it takes to do anything in God's eyes. Believe. Don't you see, if other than that you have a form of godliness but deny His ability?
I've read this in the past before, this doer of the word, it was like, you know, you need to go out and do something, hand out tracts, witness. Encourage people, we'll get the sick in the hospital and the people in jail.
Yeah, of course. But it says if you do that, you're seeing something about you. And so you will what? Just like anything else, you'll be like a natural man beholding his face in a glass. And then straight away, you'll forget what manner of man you are. It's so simple. It blows me away that everybody doesn't see it. How can you read this book with any intellectual integrity? Because if you think you have to do something, then you have to be like, you know, these guys that are raising billions of dollars to go rebuild the temple and find the ashes of the red heifer and try to find the Ark of the Covenant so that they can build the temple so that Christ can come back. And you have to believe that Daniel was talking about this week that's sort of floating around up in the air somewhere, and someday that week is going to come back to the earth. Or you have to believe that you know, you're going to be a... God's going to come and He's going to take you up in the air and then you can come back and get down again and you can take yo-yo, and that God is going to set up His kingdom. On earth instead of in earth. That the kingdom of God will come by observation. The scriptures are clear. Jesus said, it's in the red words. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. For the kingdom of God is within you. The Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, not on earth. The definition of a false prophet is one who says, and it's not your words, it's how you will respond to stimulus, your actions. The one who says that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh and He will come in the flesh. That's the false prophet. That's the Antichrist. But the Spirit of God says Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. In you, now. And if He is come in the flesh, then everything is perfect. And the peace that passes all understanding will override you. And you can do nothing because He finished it all.
One of the things you wrote, what's the one that has the phrase in it, that leads only to doubt and confusion or something?
Take your eyes off yourself.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
From God's standpoint, the definition of pride is the recognition of you. You don't deny Him by saying He doesn't exist. You deny Him by saying you exist. And you say you exist if you believe you have some independent problem or independent situation or independent goal or independent life. Or if you need something. Or if you want something. Say it till hell freezes over. The scriptures are clear. By one offering you have been perfected forever. If you have been perfected, how can you add anything to it? If you can add anything to it, it's not perfection. And his sacrifice wasn't enough. But his sacrifice was sufficient, was enough for every situation. You have been perfected forever. You own all things. So how can you ever be in need? All things exist for your purpose. So how can you ever be a victim? By his sacrifice and by him choosing you out of the world, he has placed you at the top, at the cornerstone of the pyramid. But you still complain. Because you're trusting your senses instead of living by faith.
I was thinking of that scripture where the preacher's job is to present each one of us perfect. It should be like a 5-minute meeting. 20 years ago. Yeah, here's the deal. But, you know, it's like a lifelong pursuit because we're so dense.
And Paul said his only job was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And his the people he talked to were even worse off than you are, if that's possible. Huh? You're either perfect by his offering, or you better get to work. You've got so much to do, it's unbelievable. What about this doesn't make sense? What about this don't you understand? Can you give me any excuse for leaving peace? Can you give me any excuse for following your mind or your emotions? In your entire life, not once have they ever led you correctly. Then why in God's name are you still paying attention to them? Let me read that prayer, that ancient prayer. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, and do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no will but thine. I have no self but thee. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Any other prayer is just plain, old-fashioned, stupid. I mean, with regard to you, you can pray for somebody else. Wade, what's going on? I feel I smell the gears burning. Yeah, I see the gerbil running.
Right now, I was thinking, oh Lord, my God.
Well, that's a good thing to think, I guess.
Dirty clothes weren't trying to wash themselves.
You asked a question about a minute ago. I came with the question, but the answer is that you don't revenge the disobedience of your mind. But you won't stay in that place of peace very long because your mind will stop for a moment just to give you some thought. Thinking, oh yeah, now you're there. And then it'll just start moving away and taking off in other directions.
It's like, you know, I hear these preachments about putting on the whole armor of God. Well, you put on the whole armor of God by putting on Jesus Christ. You're going to try to separate him out and cut him up? That's already happened to him.
Basically, everything they say is something that you have to do, need to do.
And I promise you, if there's anybody that tells you what to do, they're not in Christ, they're in Babylon. Doesn't matter what name they're in. Remember, from God's perspective, in this analogy, there's only two left. There's only the bride and the whore. There's only the vessel of wrath and the vessel of mercy. The vessel of mercy is the one who lives in total and complete dependence every second on God. The vessel of wrath is the one who continues on in self-seeking in the name of God. Or not. Self-seeking, aven, self-realization of any kind is the problem. But people are involved completely in self-realization in the name of God. I can't conceive of it. How can you justify that? There is no self. And I promise you, his life is what provides the peace that passes all understanding. Because he is peace. He is the God of peace. The love of God is centered, exists in Jesus Christ. There's thousands of scriptures that talk about Christ in you. And there's hundreds of scriptures that talk about you being in him. That means that you can't ever be in a position where you're not in him. I hope some of you are coming to the understanding you can never be in a position where Christ isn't in you. But equally important is for you to understand that you can never be in a position where you're not in him. Except by your mind. The evil one. The instead of Christ. The Antichrist. I've gone over my allotted time. Anybody have any response?
You're saying the scripture, labor to enter into the rest, this being the newer words.
It's combating the mind. Because your mind will never let you know that you're there.
The companion scripture of that is what Paul was saying. You know, you're changed into his likeness. And you look into it and see him, and then you know who you are.
Amen.
You know, that's what the end point is.
Pete, what's going on? There's a huge cloud over you.
Sometimes I feel like I confess God in this arena, and I've been hearing the cross for so long and still paying attention to these thoughts.
Remember the thing that always happens. What always happens is you're seduced by something you think is good. And that pulls you away from his life. You want to know about that? Talk to Harry. Harry's an expert in being seduced by something he thinks is good. And then he ends up in the pit for 3 months or 3 weeks. Or
I woke up this morning as depressed as I've been in 20 years. I'm not now. This was exactly the right thing at exactly the right time, but I walked in here as depressed as I've ever been. For just that reason.
Because you had a good idea. Does that sound familiar, Pete?
Sounds familiar. I repent.
There's the number of 100 also besides zero. There's 100. You know, how can I make 100?
Or a million, or a billion, or a jillion, or a bazillion. Christ is all and in all. He is my life. One more time. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, I make my own eternal soul. Live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no will but thine. I have no self but thee. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. It's time to stop. Stop being a child. That's what it's just. You know. Oh. Oh. It's just sick. I'm going to smack you right upside the head with my cane, Ronnie. What are you laughing at now?
Oh, I just think about inner child.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't get me started. Oh, let's nurse your inner child that was so abused. Oh, let's just nurture that little bastard. No, let's kill the son of a bitch.
You know, in some circles that would be unacceptable.
In all circles that would be unacceptable. Especially in yours. You want to nurse that little bastard. Yeah. Nurture him. He's so abused. He was so poor. Pobrecito. Well, I think that's just wrong, Holy. I can remember a certain psychologist that told me that. Anyway, take it, big guy. I don't want to talk anymore.
You got all your life.